Hey folks, it's King from Stay Tuned Sports, and I gotta tell you, I love energy drinks. They help give me that boost that I need to finish all my work, get through game film recaps from all of Sunday's games, and they provide that pick-me-up during a very long week. What I don't love is that crash and the jitters, the gross feeling you get with most other energy drinks. And that's why I tried Dubby, and I gotta tell you, Dubby is a game changer with flavors like Dragonade, Beach and Peach, Galaxy Grenade, and my personal favorite, the Dub Sludge. You can find your favorite or just get them all. There's no jitters, there's no crash, because there's no sugar in Dubby. Plus, Dubby contains Neurofactor, an all-natural ingredient derived from coffee cherries, which has been linked to enhanced brain function. You go on over to dubby.gg right now. That's dubby.gg to grab the best energy drink you've ever had. And if you enter the code STSPORTS18 in all caps, you'll get 10% off your order. That's STSPORTS18 to get 10% off of Dubby. Be better.
Shit, there's the rest of the game. Let's go.
Fuck it, I'm a diabetic. I will root for the team that will literally give me diabetes and death. Rooting for a team from Hershey is like a Catholic rooting for Satan. It doesn't make any sense.
This is Stay Tuned Sports, and it starts in 3, 2, 1.
And hello there, all you Stay Tuners. Welcome back to another episode of Stay Tuned Sports. It's your good friend Jimbo here with our good buddy King.
Hi, everybody. Looking different. Oh, man, why don't you tell me I had a giant zit on my forehead? Oh, God.
Well, just, like, look that way, and you won't see it.
No, it's dead center.
That's right.
That is just a little off dead center. There ain't no way you turn it where that's going.
It looks like Mike Tyson might have punched you in the head there.
No, if Mike Tyson touched me in the head, it would be concave. It looked like the Death Star. I'd have a little dish.
Right. Yeah. I can't wait for that fight.
Which is
though.
What I think. Who is it? Which one is it? Which one wrestles and which one boxes?
So Logan wrestles. Who is
Logan's the wrestler? Jake is the boxer.
Yeah. Well, Logan boxes too, but Logan's more wrestling.
Yeah, but
than
he's
box.
On wrestling. And I'll tell you what, great wrestler.
Yeah.
Great wrestler.
For what? 2 years?
Only doing 2 years. And he hits it like he is legitimately a great wrestler.
Yeah.
As far as like the professional wrestling business. He is great, and he has already the built-in heat because everybody hates him and his brother.
Yeah.
You know, you can't buy that kind of heat.
Yeah.
So he does well. But Jake, man, like listen, like I know, like he's had some of the other boxing matches. You know, he's had some of these other things against MMA fighters, great MMA fighters, but just, you know, maybe not the best boxers or a little past their prime.
Yeah.
Even Mike Tyson, being, what is he, 56, 57? He's almost 60.
57 years old.
I've seen, I think as you have, anybody else has seen the some of the training videos.
Yep.
Coming out of Tyson's camp.
We're going to see a dead body.
Still Mike Tyson. You might be older, might be a little slower.
Yeah.
But that's still Mike Tyson.
And I saw yesterday Tyson was getting interviewed on a podcast. I'm not sure which podcast it was. But he said, I guess when he fought Roy Jones Jr., he admitted that he actually smoked a little weed before the match to calm his nerves down and everything like that. And even then, for two old guys, it was still a good fight. You know, it wasn't no Mike Tyson prime type fight, but still a good fight. He came out and said, I'm scared about this fight, but I always take fights like this, and I'm not smoking before this fight. I want to go in there irritable. And I'm like, oh, Jake Paul, nice knowing you.
Dude, I'm sorry. Like, listen, I don't want to be like one of those cliche guys like, oh, he's going to die. Oh, we're going to see a dead body. Oh, it's going to be all this stuff. But
yeah.
And listen, I don't know. Maybe we see something different. Like, again, anything is possible.
Yeah.
But from a strictly eyeball test, that's still Mike Tyson, man. Yeah. That is still Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
You know, listen, I like to think I'm big, strong guy, 6'8", you know, 320, you know, bar, you know, I should probably work out more on my arm. Look at my arms. They're so gross. I have mutant hands though. But you know, I need to hit the weights. I need to do stuff like that. But I'm like, oh yeah, you know, I can hold my, nope. You wouldn't find me in a ring with Mike Tyson.
Yep.
Not 20 years ago. Not now. Not ever.
Even if he's 80.
There's just some people, and not only that, but Mike feels like you said, he's not going to smoke before this thing like he did with Roy Jones. And again, with the Roy Jones match, it kind of seemed like it was, he was taking it kind of just as an exhibition, a payday, doing stuff like that's why he did that.
Yeah.
This one, like you said, it seems like he might be taking it a little bit more seriously. And if that's the case, we've heard enough interviews with Mike when he talks about like going into like a boxing match, like when he wants to take it seriously, he wants to do that. And he's like, you know, man, you know, I got to, you know, I flip that switch, man. And it's just like, you know, I go into a Stone Cold Killer, you know, I got to be in a Stone Cold Killer mode. Because if I'm not, then I know like I'm not going to be doing my best. So I got to go out there with a Stone Cold Killer mentality. And it's like, if Mike Tyson goes in there, like with that boxing mentality that he has and that he always had, which is, I'm not going in there to beat you. I'm not going in there to win. I'm going in there to end you.
Yeah.
This is going to be something. It's going to be something. And that's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to buy it.
Well, it's on Netflix. I don't know.
Oh, is it on Netflix?
Yes. It's one of Netflix's first live.
See, this is something sports. I didn't know.
Yeah.
So it's free. So we get to watch somebody die for free.
Exactly.
Well, not for free, but if you have Netflix, which I think a lot of most people do now.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm going to look more into it. It is definitely Netflix, but I wonder how the live stuff works for Netflix. Is it different?
I saw they did a Chris Rock, the Chris Rock special they did.
Yeah, but like if I sign into Netflix now, I don't see like no live tab or
No, because they don't have that much live stuff going on right now.
Yeah, so that day would they add a live tab that
it'll come up like, you know how when you first go into Netflix and it has like the first thing will be up there like, you know, this movie or this is new or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
That will pop up.
Oh, okay.
And then it will be in the trending now or what's new or something like that. It'll be right there.
Okay.
And like, yeah, so they'll do that either the day before or the day of. That'll be there for you to see.
Okay.
And it seems like they're getting more and more into the live stuff. Like we got Monday Night Raw is going to Netflix starting next year.
Yeah.
What is it? $5 billion over 10 years.
Yeah.
Not a bad deal. Not a bad deal. You know, so it seems like they're kind of dipping their toes into it a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. Like, who knows? Maybe, you know, it's going to, listen, if they keep on doing that, it would be dumb of them not to try to get the NFL into it.
Yeah.
Or some kind of sports. Now, again, sports are usually big anyway, but man, if you get the NFL, that's pretty good. And that makes me wonder, like, how long was the Amazon deal? Is that 10 years?
I would say it's probably 10 years. And that was...
I want to say it was 10 years, so now you took it about 8 more years. But see, here's the thing. Amazon is not... They're not pulling the numbers that they wanted to with it.
Yeah.
Now, you could say that's the quality of the games. You could say that it's accessibility to Amazon Prime. You could say it's a number of different things. But... At the end of the day, like, they're still not pulling the numbers. I wonder if there's a way or a clause that either they or the NFL can get out of that.
Yeah.
Maybe they try to go with, maybe they try to switch it up. Maybe they go to Apple TV. Maybe they do Netflix. Maybe they do something like that. I don't know.
And like we said a couple weeks ago, like even the Eagles-Browns game, that's going to be the Friday night game. I don't think they announced, oh no, that's a Peacock one.
That's Peacock.
Peacock, okay.
That's going to be on Peacock.
They did say that they are going to have another playoff game that's going to be strictly for a streaming platform. So maybe they buy that game.
Yes, that one is. That one they gave to Amazon.
I thought there was a second one. I thought they were going to do two this year.
I don't know if there's a second one. I know that one, the wild card, I believe that one was Amazon got that.
Okay.
For the $100 million, I think it is.
Yeah.
For one game.
Jump you know, change.
Good money if you can get it.
Yeah.
Like if you're just think about that. The NFL is making, with those things they do, like with this Brazil game, with the wild card games for the streaming, they're making $100 million off of one game.
Just that.
Just for that. Just for these companies to do that. Because, well, here's the other thing, too, is that the companies know that usually, again, it's not working out currently with Amazon, but, you know, getting the NFL is usually big money for advertising, for all that kind of stuff. Like, so you're going to make, that's the reason why they're paying so much is because you know you're going to make that and more just through advertising because the ratings are usually going to be so high.
Yeah.
You know, I remember what was it? At some point last year, they showed what was the top 100 rated television programs of the last year.
Yeah,
and 96 of the 100 were NFL games.
Wow.
I think one might have been a World Series game down towards the 90, but like there was nothing but NFL until you got to the very bottom of the 100 list. And then, like, 97 was, like, a World Series game. 98 was NFL again. 99 was, I think, maybe the Final Four or an NBA Finals game.
That was my knee.
And then I can't, well, be careful. Really? So the point of that is that the NFL just rules everything.
Yeah.
So they can charge whatever they want. People will pay whatever they want because that money's going to be something like we saw with the Super Bowl this year. They're, you know, they had a peak of over 200 million people watching the show.
Yep.
You get 200 million people watching a show. If you get your advertising on there, yeah, you get $7 million for 30 seconds. But when you can show people something for 30 seconds that's going to go to 200 million eyeballs, that's money well spent.
Yeah. And even
honestly, when you talk about it in the advertising world, that is money well spent.
And even if half those people buy whatever you're advertising, you made your money back.
So interesting. It's going to be interesting to see what happens going forward.
And yet, NFL took away Christmas Day from the NBA.
They just snatched that.
They're like,
they were just like, they did the little test of the war this year.
Yeah.
Where they did the Black Friday game after Thanksgiving, and then they did the Christmas games. They were like, let's see what happens. Let's see how people like it. And ratings were great. People were like when you compared the ratings to what the NFL got on Christmas Day to what the NBA got, like the NBA got slaughtered.
Yeah,
like it wasn't even there. So the NFL just said, "All right, Christmas is ours now. When's Christmas this year? Wednesday? Don't give a shit. We're playing football on a goddamn Wednesday." How that's going to work out? No idea.
The only thing I saw was the teams that play that prior Thursday would be the Christmas Day games because that way you'd get almost the full week of rest.
So you think they're going to do two Thursday games for that week beforehand? So you have two teams that are prime time on Thursday, and then you're going to have them skip a whole week all the way go around to Wednesday? Like
that was the one thing I saw, or maybe whatever teams you're gonna give Christmas Day, their bye week is the prior week.
I heard. Well, no, because that's too late in the season. Bye weeks yeah, end before Christmas.
Yeah,
I heard Boomer on WFAN a couple weeks ago was talking about how it might be. They have like the Christmas games might be like a division game or divisional games or however they'll set it up. And that previous, like they'll play games on the previous Saturday.
Okay.
And then play on that Wednesday, you know, because the NFL does Saturday games.
Yeah.
Which again, this is going to be something this year because this is the first year where the college football playoffs are actually going to be during that time where the NFL usually switches over to playing some Saturday games because there was no college there.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see how that kind of balances out. But either way, it seems like that'll be the way that maybe they'll do it. Well, it'll be just like two matchups where you have them playing on Saturday, whatever four teams it'll be.
Yeah.
And then it'll be almost like a short week, like how teams play for Thursday night football.
Yeah.
You know, Whereas so there, instead of Sunday to Thursday, it'll be Saturday to Wednesday.
Yeah.
And that's how they'll do it and get around it. So it's, I mean, it's not impossible. Is it a little weird? Yeah. But you know, it's not the strangest idea. And also, you know, it's, I just fuck the NBA first of all, but, you know, cause listen, what would you rather do on Christmas? Would you rather sit around watching basketball, not really paying attention to it, or doing anything like that? Or like, hey, Christmas, here, there you go. Oh, I got a jersey for Christmas, and I can wear it as I'm watching my football team play on Christmas Day. Like, that's...
I'd rather talk politics with my family.
That's a Thanksgiving. That's a Thanksgiving tradition. Don't take that away from Thanksgiving.
No. You know I'm not political at all. I just like stirring the pot a little bit.
No, that I will agree with. That you're not so much political. You are just a shitster. You are
just give a little nudge. And
I don't
run
care
your
what
way.
It is. You know, oh, I'm with this kind of group of people that think this way. Well, let me say this. Oh, there's another group that thinks the opposite. Well, let me say this. And you just like causing shit, yeah. Which is commendable. I do tip my hat to you if I had one. Well, I have some behind me there, as you can see. But speaking of the NFL, Jimbo. Well, I think we buried the lead a little too much here, talking about Mike Tyson and Netflix and NFL media deals. Big news out of the NFL this morning, waking up, realizing that, listen, this has been a long time coming. Stephon from Family Matters.
Yeah.
Stephon Diggs traded from the Buffalo Bills. The Bills trade Stephon Diggs and two picks.
Yeah, fifth and sixth.
I believe
sixth.
A fourth and a sixth for... One is this year. I think the fourth is this year's.
Okay.
Sixth is next year's.
Yeah.
And they, in turn, get a second-round pick next year from the Texans. Couple things. Are you surprised by this move? You shouldn't be. How does this change the dynamic of both Buffalo and now, obviously, the Houston Texans going into this 2024 season?
So I would say I'm like maybe 10% surprised, because if you look at the wide receiver room for the Bills now, let's just put this in perspective this way. Mac Hollins, who was with Philly a couple seasons ago, was terrible. He's your number two receiver now, who at best would be a fourth or a fifth wide receiver, a special teams player, basically, on any other team. The other aspect, I'm not surprised, and me and you kind of agree with this, that pretty much Diggs talked himself out of Buffalo.
Listen, he hasn't wanted to be there for a while.
Even Minnesota, he talked himself out of there.
And well, no, this is what I'm saying. And now it's a case of where I don't think he's going to be happy no matter where he goes. He's just that kind of guy. He is locker room cancer. He's just a toxic personality in a locker room, as we're finding out. And just every offseason, it's this Real Housewives of the NFL drama with him. Yeah. Always drama. Reality TV show drama. I don't want to be this. Oh, I don't want to do this. Josh Allen. Oh, really? Oh, I don't know. Josh Allen doesn't need me to be. I think that kind of was the last straw, because that was what he responded to somebody's tweet yesterday with that, was saying, like, is Stephon Diggs, a good player, a great player? Yes. Does Josh Allen need Stephon Diggs to be a great player? No. And that's when Diggs went and posted on it. He's like, you sure? And it just seems like with all the other stuff that he said last offseason, it was like he wasn't talking to anybody, and he did the photo shoot with the hockey shin pads, because he's like, I'm always taking on the shins, and that's what I mean. Like, everybody's always coming after me, and you know, He was, again, he's a toxic personality. He's a great player. I don't think anybody's going to say not. And again, the Texans are very happy to have him, as well they should be, because they have, we'll touch on the Texans in a second, but I mean, they're going to be something.
And I saw this, that they said, is this move comparable to the Tyreek Hill Chiefs thing. The difference is Mahomes is a hell of a lot better than Josh Allen. And the Chiefs overall team is a hell of a lot better than the Bills now with all the moves the Bills did in the offseason.
Listen, you can make arguments about Allen and Mahomes and, you know, Mahomes being more clutch and clearly having more success, but whether that's an individual or a team thing or whatever, you can argue with. You can't argue the fact that the Chiefs overall, team-wise, are a better team than the Bills.
Yeah.
And currently, I don't know who the Bills are particularly better than. I think right now, if you ask me right now, the Bills are third in that division. I think it goes, and I know offseason champions and everything. I think it's Jets,
okay,
Dolphins, Bills. And then the only team the Bills are ahead is the Patriots because the Patriots suck.
Does this Bills team be now, humor me, because, you know, I always like to joke around about Zach Wilson, but does this Bills team beat a Zach Wilson-led Jets team?
Yes, anybody beats a Zach Wilson-led team. Yeah. Stop.
The Jets have a good defense.
Yeah, but the Bills still have Josh Allen.
Yeah, but that's it.
So now the question becomes, though, we're going to stay with the Bills here for a second.
Okay.
We will get to the Texans. Don't worry. If you're a Texans fan, we'll get to it. But, I mean, let's face facts. The Bills story is a little juicier. but if you are the Bills and you're a Bills fan, or, you know, you're the Bills front office, or you're Josh Allen, well, what are you going to do? What is the next option? Now they have 11 picks coming up in the draft.
Yeah.
And I saw somebody mention that they should use at least 3 of those on a wide receiver. Probably not a bad idea.
Yeah.
I would say get what you can get for the wide receivers. They don't have very high picks. Maybe you can trade some of those picks, trade up, and see if you can grab a couple picks. Like, you're not going to get Marvin Harrison Jr., unfortunately.
No.
But try to move up, try to grab some people. You can get quality, you can get quantity, you can get maybe a little bit of both. You can try to work with that. You can maybe try to work a trade to get somebody. Now, we know T. Higgins wants out of Cincinnati, so that's an option. That's could be available. You also have the idea, the big fish on the hook that everybody's kind of looking at is, Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
But my thought with that then is, because you asked this a little bit before in a group chat, what do you have as the Bills to give up for something like a T. Higgins or someone like a T. Higgins or a Justin Jefferson? What do you have?
Yeah.
You don't have the assets that are going to be good enough for these other teams to want to be like, yes, that's what we're going to do. We'll go with this guy. We'll go. Yes, we'll trade you for, we'll trade Justin Jefferson for, 8 draft picks. No, that's not going to happen. So, if that doesn't happen, the Bills are in a spot right now. And then now the big question, and you see everybody already asking it. People were asking it before this trade.
Okay.
Now you have to really consider, is the window closed?
I think with this trade it is. Because the other aspect of this trade, and I brought up in the group chat, there's $43 million of dead money now that they got to figure out how to, I guess, space it out or keep themselves underneath the cap now.
If you're the Bills and this is it, your window's closed. Does the thought cross your mind to maybe trade Josh and blow it all up and start from scratch?
See, here's the thing. And I don't know if this will lead into our Texans talk here or not, but I think what the Texans did last year has destroyed the thinking of a rebuild has to be 4 to 5 years. Now, Josh Allen is, 27, 28 years old? So he's still somewhat young in his prime. So maybe they accepted, listen, this year is a wash. We're just going to wash it. And maybe we get lucky next year and become the Texans of last year. Or the Bills from a couple years ago. Maybe they become competitive because higher draft picks next year, able to find bargain deals to get rid of some of the dead money that is going to be on the books now, and just have a reset next year. So I think with the Texans, last year's success, I think, killed the idea that a 4 to 5 year plan is what a rebuild should be now.
I think a couple of teams and people before have kind of already kind of destroyed that idea. Like, I think rebuilds, when you think about a rebuild now, I think when you think of rebuild, you think it can take up to 5 years.
Yeah.
But you want it to happen sooner. You want to see at least some progress. Now, you had mentioned before something about how, like, maybe the Texans, you know, this looks like they might be the Giants. First of all, the Giants had Daniel Jones drag their ass into the playoffs 2 years ago, just kicking and screaming.
Yeah.
That team didn't belong where they belonged. But then it fooled, I guess, the front office, maybe Joe Shane, maybe some of those other guys there were just like, oh, I maybe we're good enough. Maybe we can build with what we have and move on from that. And they didn't make any moves. They didn't make any other solid building techniques. They kind of stuck with what they had.
Yeah.
And it showed last year, of course. Look what happened to the Giants. No offensive line. They got Daniel Jones killed. They got Tyrod Taylor killed. They got Tommy DeVito injured too. Like, he ended up screwing up his ankle and stuff like that. They were just bad. Defensively, we weren't good. Offensively, we had no receivers. And the offensive line couldn't block, you know, anyone. So our quarterback got murdered. Saquon couldn't move anywhere. Not that I think he could anyway, but that's a story for a whole other time.
This year will be different.
I'm sure it will be. Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. We'll see. That's all I'm going to say. But like the Texans are not that. The Texans are different. They have, I mean, when you look at Nico Collins, when you look at Tank Dell, when you look at CJ Stroud, when you look at that young defense that they have, you know, they are not only better than when the Giants made the playoffs a couple of years ago the first time. Like, they're better, they're younger, they're only going to get better.
Yeah.
And now, here's the thing. This is where I think this getting Diggs on the roster, this trade, this is where you're going to test CJ Stroud's maturity. You're going to test his leadership skills. You're going to test all of that.
Yeah.
Because, again, Stephon Diggs is a proven toxic individual when it comes to the locker room.
Yeah.
You know, and we've all seen it. We've all seen it for the last couple of years in Buffalo. We saw it for his last year in Minnesota there. Like, we see it.
Yeah.
It's, you know, he has a shelf life in places, which is why I think he's got maybe 2 years in Houston before he probably gets traded from there or leaves there. Or I don't know when his contract's up or if they're going to, you know, renegotiate it or whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, he's not going to end his career in Houston.
No.
Like, he's gonna sour himself there. He's going to bitch and moan and complain, and then he's going to be gone.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, when you look at it from that aspect. But can DeMeco Ryans keep him on the street now for as long as possible? Can C.J. Stroud be the leader of that team and not let Stephon Diggs come in and kind of screw up the locker room and do things like that and be the singular voice in there? I mean, this is going to be, like, talent-wise, this is a huge, amazing move for the Texans. They are instantaneously a playoff contender again, probably the odds-on favorite to win the division. And I'm not going to say Super Bowl contender, but they're certainly one of the better teams and probably hotter teams right now.
There's some people out there that say they're the Super Bowl contenders, but I kind of agree with you. I don't think they're just yet.
Not just yet, but again, we'll wait and see. But I think the bigger question for me, anyway, is how are they going to handle this kind of dynamic? How are they going to handle this personality that is Stephon Diggs in that locker room with all that kind of baggage and drama and stuff that he loves to do and loves to have? Like it's going to be a honeymoon period. It's all going to be great and hunky dory for, you know, maybe this first season, maybe even the first half of this first season. But if he starts not getting the touches that he wants, if he starts not feeling like he's, you know, being respected by the play calling as, you know, whatever it is. Like, how does CJ Stroud handle that? How does D'Amico Ryan's here? How does the team? How does the lot? How do Tank Dell and Nico Collins handle that? How do they all handle this? That's going to show a lot, and we're going to see. We're going to see if the Texans and if CJ and if those guys are strong enough to corral that personality of his and focus it and channel it to do what they need. Understand that you have two other fantastic wide receivers there in which you don't need to be the number one. I know Stefon always wants to be the number one.
Yeah.
But you don't have to be the number one here. And you actually may not be the number one there.
Yeah.
So is that going to cause friction? Is that going to cause a problem? Is this going to be like it, you know, on the surface, this is a huge move, huge win for the Texans. Instantly puts them up into favorable odds for, you know, playoffs, AFC championship game, things like that. That instantly puts them up to the odds, I'm sure, on all the sports books bounced as soon as they saw all that.
I wonder how much it changed.
But underneath it, we'd have to check that.
Yeah.
Probably should have done it before the show. Yeah. But I was too busy trying to work on my new computer here that that's
it's
a story.
It's still
we'll
live.
We'll do that another time. but like once you get past that surface level, once you start looking a little deeper, it's like this can go very badly very quickly. So I think that's how I'm kind of looking at it. It's like, wow, huge move. Wow, talented receiver. Wow, really great for the Texans. But
and the only way to figure that out, and I only know the basics when you're looking at the players' contracts, salary cap, that type of stuff. Buffalo is incurring $43 million of dead money. So does that mean, and then Houston's getting taken on Diggs' salary, $18 million, whatever. So does that mean, since Buffalo's taking the dead money, can Houston just outright cut him if he starts acting up and they don't get penalized something? That's the only part that I don't understand with the salary cap.
I'm not sure. Well, no, because here's the thing. When it comes to like saying like it's dead money, that doesn't necessarily mean that the team is paying that out.
Okay.
It just means that they're on, like, as far as the salary cap goes, having that contract there, whether you traded him or not, like the same thing happens like if you cut a player. Like, they don't pay the player, but to the salary cap, it still counts against it.
Okay.
So, like, again, like it's a $43 million cap hit to the Bills.
Yeah.
Cutting him. Or not cutting him, but trading him. Now, that doesn't mean that's them pay. Like, they're not paying him.
Yeah, they're not paying anybody.
And if I was the Bills, I would definitely be like, listen, we're not picking up any of his salary. That's all on you guys.
Yeah.
But what it means, though, is that according to the salary cap, that money is still gone.
Okay.
So now they have to look at what it is. Now, I think, I don't know what it is. I know next year's $8 million. You know, it goes down significantly next year for the cap hit.
Okay.
So I think that makes it, what, $35 million or something for this year.
Okay.
So they have to look at it, you know, when you're looking at the books and if they're going to sign somebody or do something like that, there's a $35 million blank space there, as Taylor would say. And that is just, it's just a dead money. That's why they call it dead money.
Yeah.
It's dead money. You can't use it, even though you're not paying it, even though he's not on a team, you can't use it.
Okay.
So, which then that goes into what, you know, who are they going to get? Even if they trade for T. Higgins, the reason he wants to get traded is because he wants a big fat contract.
Yeah.
If you trade for Justin Jefferson, You're gonna have to sign him to because I think this is his last year.
Yeah.
Deal in Minnesota. So like you're gonna have to sign a big contract. So either way, you're gonna have to sign a big contract, unless you're gonna say, we'll just go with young receivers in a draft, and hope that Josh does well with them. You know. And I don't know, because again. All right, you know, I'm going to get, you know, this is hot take city, but I said this for years, for the last 3 years, at least for the last 2 years. When you look at the numbers, numbers don't lie, ladies and gentlemen. However you feel about one of these quarterbacks or the other one, statistically, with the numbers, Josh Allen and Daniel Jones, not that different.
No,
that's all I'm saying.
Very true. I mean, you've posted plenty of graphics in the group chat that compared equally.
I've seen all the different stats. I've seen everything. For some reason, Daniel Jones gets hate, says he can't play quarterback. He can't play in the NFL. He's a terrible quarterback. I don't know what people are watching, or if they're just watching media and being told that Daniel Jones can't be a good quarterback. I'm sorry. I think the kid's a good quarterback when he's not being murdered by his offensive line. And I think I've made this statement before. If you put Patrick Mahomes behind that Giants offensive line last year, he doesn't finish the season, and no way do any of his stats. He didn't look good last year anyway on the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Like, do we forget how the Chiefs are in a regular season where everybody was like, oh, this looks like it's over. This looks like it's bad. They're not, you know, they're losing to the Raiders.
Yeah.
On Christmas Day there, or Christmas Eve, I don't know, one of the holidays. They were, you know, they lost to the Raiders at home. Listen, I'm not going to sit here and say Daniel Jones is a second coming to Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers either. But what I'm saying is, thinking that Josh Allen is going to be able to take a batch of freshman receivers here, bunch of rooks, and make them look like great players.
This Bills wide receiver group and Josh Allen screams when Carson Wentz had Greg Ward. The only real receiver he had was Alshon Jeffries at the time. And 2016, I think it was the year before we went to the Super Bowl, we somehow made the playoffs. But he didn't have a wide receiver. Carson Wentz didn't have a wide receiver over 500 yards, and that was with Alshon Jeffries on the team. That's what this Bills team screams to me.
It reminds me a little bit of Aaron Rodgers last year in Green Bay.
Yeah.
Now, again, I am not comparing Josh Allen to Aaron Rodgers, because let's be fucking serious here.
And Aaron, make sure you don't spend that $80 all in one spot.
hey, listen, $80 for four snaps, not bad.
It's not, but it's just
not
funny.
A bad player incentive. But it reminds me of that. And like I said, I'm not comparing Josh Allen to Aaron Rodgers. They're not even close. All right. But like that last year in Green Bay, Aaron had what the hell is his name? Christian something? I forget. Anyway, I know as a football person, I should know it. I'm going to get yelled at in the comments and yelled at online. That's fine. You can yell at me. I'm not a smart man. again, like he was thrown to these rooks and thrown to these people that weren't used to him, didn't know how to you know get there. And so even somebody as great as Aaron Rodgers, who could throw the ball 70 yards with a flick of his wrist, is maybe the most accurate passer in the history of the NFL, and you still had his receivers dropping the ball and running long routes and not doing what they were supposed to be doing and causing problems to the point where the Packers missed the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, when they lost that last game to Detroit. So if that's going to happen to Aaron Rodgers when he's got to deal with a bunch of rooks, again, does Josh Allen have a magic ability like that where he can just make these guys work out? I don't know. And then you got to talk about the Bills defense, which is in just shambles right
now. Yeah. They're getting rid of everybody.
Like I said, it's if I'm a Bills fan, and my niece is a big Bills fan, I don't know. I don't know what to say. Like, I wouldn't know how to say anything to comfort her or be like, you know, oh, it'll be all right. You'll still be contenders. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Especially when you look at, you see how good the Texans are becoming. You see the Chiefs are still the Chiefs. You see what the Jets have done in this offseason. Now, again, the Jets are always going to be the Jets until they're not the Jets.
Yeah.
If Aaron Rodgers can stay healthy, I mean, the Jets are fucking stacked.
Yeah, and that defense is getting a lot better just from the moves.
You have the Dolphins still, which, you know, they're the Dolphins. But they're still good. You have the Ravens, who have made some leaps and bounds here. You have the Steelers, who have made some great defensive plays, and we'll see what happens with Russ or Justin at quarterback or whatever. But defensively, they have a great. They had a great defense that they made better. They added Patrick Queen to that defense.
Yeah,
like it's an abundance of riches on that Pittsburgh Steelers defense. You still got the Bengals and Joey Burrow. You know, with him coming back from an injury, depending on what happens with T. Higgins, but they, you know, like they, you know, they lost Joe Mixon, but you know, Joe Burrow has always shown to be that guy.
Yeah.
So if he stays healthy, the Bengals are right back in there. The Browns are good. That entire AFC North is something.
Are the Browns good if Deshaun Watson starts?
Yes.
Yeah.
He was what, 5-2 last year before he got injured?
Got hurt, yeah.
Hey, he's 5-2.
Yeah.
Not bad.
No, yeah.
That's not bad. Like, it's just he has to stay healthy.
And
you know,
on the field, yeah, on the field, not
if,
in
as
trouble.
Long as he stays healthy and on the field, you know, that Browns defense, you know, they have their running backs there with hopefully who is that?
Chubbs. Chubbs is the one I got.
I always get Chubbs. Yeah, of course they brought back what's his name after Chubbs got hurt.
Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, that's it. Kareem Hunt.
Yeah,
and which he played well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But they'll get Chubb back. They have, you know, like the Browns are, they have the defending NFL Defensive Player of the Year. Whether or not you think it should have went to TJ or not, statistically, it probably should have, but yeah, whatever. Like, so they're good. Then you look at the Chargers are going to, you know, they have a new coach. You got Jim Harbaugh. They're trying to get back into it. The Raiders have all in on Antonio Pierce, and he seems to be, you know, so they're going to be a tough out. The Broncos are going to have new uniforms, so they're something. you know, it's the road is getting tougher.
Yeah.
And so now where before it was always the Chiefs and the Bills and everybody, you know, everybody else, now it's, you know, the Chiefs, the Ravens, maybe you throw the Texans in there now as a team that could be up there.
I was going to say, I mean, as of right now, I could see the Texans being a top four.
The entire AFC North, I think I would actually throw in there to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
You have the Chiefs, you have the AFC North, maybe the Jets if Aaron can stay healthy, and then the Bills. Maybe the Bills are now with the rest of the pack.
Yeah.
So that's the problem, is that that window where they were neck and neck with the Chiefs, and that was going to be the battle in the AFC for who got to go to the Super Bowl. Now you're with the rest of the packs. You're with the could be a contender, may also miss the playoffs.
Yeah,
depending on how it goes. So, it's a worrying time. It's a worrying time if you're a Bills fan. I'm sure if you're a Jets fan or a Dolphins fan, you are fucking ecstatic. You're like, let's go. He's out of our division. You know. Everybody else, like the Jaguars and the Colts fans and everybody else, are like, God damn it.
Son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch. But, you know, as far as that goes, man, like it's – people want to say like, oh, this was – what a loss for the Bills. This is going to ruin the Bills. Even if Diggs was there this year, it was going to be a rough year for the Bills.
Yeah.
Like nothing was shaping up to be going well for the Bills.
Yeah.
And this is just kind of,
and kind of,
you know, this is just a little cherry on top of the, oh shit cake, you know?
Yeah. And a little dig at the Cowboys here. I saw that, one of our followers on X said that what Houston is doing by going all in is what the Cowboys should have been doing in the very beginning of free agency and all that. When Dude. Jerry Jones said, we're all in, and he has a little Cowboy drawing.
And you know, I have defended the Cowboys and Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
As a Giants fan, I know, odd. But I've said that Jerry is a good GM. If you've ever looked at the Cowboys on paper, they are generally always one of the top 3 to 5 teams in the NFL when it comes to talent, when it comes to, you know, predictions. Like they are. And I know we always get upset because it's always like, oh, everybody's always predicting the Cowboys to be high. They never do anything. They never do anything. It's like, on paper, when you look at the talent that's there and who he puts together on the roster, they're always there. Like it's always a great team on paper. It's just they never get to
gels.
I got a booger hanging out of my nose. And I don't like it. But for him after this season to say to the fan base, we're going all in. This is the year we put together talent. We've put stuff like this, but this year, pedal to the metal, all balls to the wall, just what we're going to do. And then in free agency, you do absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then it's just like, oh, we're happy where this team is. It's like, are you?
And maybe the only,
sure about that?
Maybe the only high profile possible free agents I'll sign is Zeke Elliott. There's mutual interest to
that. I heard that he's looking to maybe go back there.
He's what, 5 years past his prime? I mean, he's not an every down back no more.
No, not clear. But he's a good third down back. Yeah. For a third down back?
Third down or goal line.
Zeke Elliott.
Yeah.
Behind that offensive line? Yeah, I'd still do it.
Yeah.
But when you look at, like, even when you look at the NFC East, the Eagles have gotten better. The Giants, whether you think they're going to be good or not, they've made great moves.
Yeah.
And the Giants are going to be, at least on paper, a better team than they were last year.
And you finally fixed a little bit of your offensive line.
A little bit. We picked up some guys. And again, I'm not saying we're going to have Hall of Famers. I'm not saying we're going to have, like, it's all going to be great. But we're improving it.
Yeah.
You're building. You get the foundation. And that's all I wanted. That's all I wanted last year. But get the foundation set. And then you can build. You can't build when there's no foundation. It collapses, as we saw last year.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm hoping for. But again, the Giants made some great moves. Dude, getting Burns from the Panthers.
That was big.
A bag of balls?
Yeah.
Like, insane. Like, that is one of the biggest moves, at least defensively, that we could. Like, the Giants' defense is going to be a lot better than it was last year. Again, we'll see how the offense works. We still desperately need receivers. I like Devin Singletary as the back. Maybe having a smaller back, more, you know, bounce in, bounce out.
Shifty.
Running back will help with, you know, having an offensive line that so far, like, we don't know what it is.
Yeah.
So maybe that can help too. And we'll see how Daniel Jones is. We'll see how the knee is after he comes back. Can he still move? Can he still run like the way he did? You know, like you know, people – were making fun of him, but he was one of the most athletic quarterbacks in the NFL. He was the fastest quarterback in the NFL.
Yep.
He was run, like he was outperforming running wise with his legs. He was outperforming Lamar Jackson. Again, numbers don't lie.
I mean, how many times on the show did you say to take the over for rushing
whenever
yards?
Whenever it's Daniel, yes, always take the over if it's Daniel Jones as quarterback.
No matter what the stat is.
No matter what you think the Giants are, if they're going to win, if they're going to not. If you have Daniel Jones, if you look at the rushing, no matter what the rushing over-under is, take the over.
Just don't bet on touchdowns because he'll trip at the 5.
And he'll trip at the 5. Right. We get it. But he was so fast, he outran himself. You know what I mean? Like that's the problem. And the problem is he doesn't look that fast because he looks like this slow, lumbering, lanky white guy.
Yeah,
but, you know, at the but you looked at it, he's like he was running like 25 miles an hour. It's like, get the... sure enough, there you go. You know, so stat that. So like again, we'll see how he is coming back from the knee injury. You know, if he can, you know, hold on to the ball when he's not getting murdered by the offensive line.
I did see that too. Another graphic yesterday. It was on Facebook, like CBS or you know one of the bigger ones. Sacks per team last season. Obviously, Giants were number one with 82. I forget the second place team, but they had 67. It was like
I want to say it was the Texans.
Was it Texans?
But CJ did. He was getting murdered last year.
Yeah, but it was like almost 20 sacks more than the second place team. It was insane.
You know, yeah. Overall, that's it. The Giants just, you know, that off. You know, Evan Neal was a swinging gate. He was just, he was inviting people. He was the U.S. southern border. He was just, come on in. You know?
We went there.
Not getting political. I'm not getting political. I'm not saying one way or the other. I'm just saying. He was just, it didn't matter who, he could wind up against a rookie. They were just beating him. They were beating his ass like a rented mule. It was so bad to watch.
Yeah.
And then he wanted to come out and say, like, oh, the people who are criticizing me are burger flippers. What do they know? It's like, I bet you those burger flippers could block him at least as well as you are and probably could do better.
Yeah.
Making fun of the burger flippers. You're going to be one of them soon, Evan. Jeez.
Someone would throw a burger at him, they'll put it in the bag, and he'll miss it. Is he still on the team? Do I have that to look forward to next year?
I don't know. I haven't looked because I don't care about the man. So he might still be.
Yeah.
He might not be. I'll have to. Let me see. I forgot that I have this brand new computer. I can actually check stuff.
I mean, I know April 15th, some of the teams' OTAs open up. So not sure what teams, but that's another date to watch for. Like we were talking about the Bills. What do the Bills do? I think that's going to be where they figure out what they're going to do with the draft.
Let's see. Evan Neal. I'm not seeing anything. It does say that the Giants are actively looking for a new right tackle. No shit.
Go on, Wilkie. You might say he's a burger flipper now for Burger King.
Did you say Wilkie?
Isn't it Wilkie?
No. You mean Wikipedia? Like
yeah.
Wiki?
Yeah.
It's Wiki. W-I. There's no L in there.
Yeah, no, the L's silent. You just can't see it.
Then why did you say it?
Because Jimbo Gage. I plead the fifth.
Ladies and gentlemen, do you see what I have to go through? This is every day. Whether it's spoken or in text, this is what we have to do. So I don't see anything currently, but like I can't really find anything.
Yeah,
I would imagine that he's if he's still on the Giants, he's going to be not on the Giants for a while, or might be a backup or something. I saw some things last week where it said like it was coming out that he refused to move to guard or tried to do anything, or you know, like. Anything to try to change him out or move him off or do something.
Yeah.
And it's like, brother, you're getting quarterbacks killed. We can't have you there.
Yeah. Like, you got to realize you're not that good. So what makes you think you have the power to say anything?
And in college, he was a left guard in college, and he moved to right tackle after his freshman year. In college, he's got the ankle injury. He had ankle surgery, and he's currently on injured reserve.
Oh, okay.
So maybe we just
wait till he comes off injured reserve and cut him.
Maybe we just don't have just like quietly list like he's injured. He's on injured reserve. It is what it is. Oh boy.
So anything else as far as NFL?
I don't know. I don't think so. Not yet. Like, again, like the free agency stuff is gone. Like the free agent frenzy stuff, now it's just kind of waiting for the draft. We know the Bears are going to be taking Caleb Williams at one. Now it also becomes a question of who does Washington pick? You know, are they going to go quarterback? Are they going to get Marvin Harrison or something like that? I imagine they're going to go quarterback.
Yeah.
Do they go Jaden Daniels? Do they go another direction? The North Carolina quarterback, Drake May.
There you go.
You know, we don't know. Is Minnesota a lot of rumors about Minnesota trying to trade up to get into a spot so they can get either J.J. McCarthy or Michael Penix or Bo Nix or somebody in that area. Apparently, J.J. McCarthy's stock is really on the rise, which is why I'm kind of hoping he can fall to the Giants, you know, and, you know, have him behind Daniel Jones. And then if Daniel Jones doesn't work out, like if he's really not going to be the guy as much as I hope that he is, you could have JJ there at least behind him this year, get acclimated to the NFL while on the sidelines, and then next year take over and we build up a little bit more too and kind of work like that. Go the way the Packers do. I don't know why more people. Well, I know why more people don't do the way the Packers do, but like maybe just do that. Give him a year. Don't start him immediately.
Yeah.
Do I think that's going to happen? No, I don't think the Giants are going to get JJ McCarthy. And even if he is available there, the Giants probably aren't going to pick him. We do need wide receivers like a son of a bitch.
Yeah.
So we'll see who we pick there. But that's it now. It's just kind of talking draft and see, you know, who's gonna fall where after, like, we know Caleb is there. That's it, you know.
Which
after that, it's kind of a crapshoot.
The first day of the first night of the draft, I'm going to do a live show because I'm off the next day. It's actually my birthday, so hopefully the Eagles give me a good birthday present.
You know, I don't know if anybody else suffers from this, but like even when it comes to family, when it comes to friends, you don't remember birthdays for shit. That's me.
Well,
you've been my best friend for 12 years now.
Yeah.
I still don't know when the fuck your birthday is.
But here's the thing, and I'll defend you. We're getting older, okay? I actually have to put important dates in my calendar in my phone to remind me 3 days before. Like the wife's birthday was March 31st, Easter Sunday. Me and her hanging out downstairs Saturday night, or Friday night. We were out and about Friday. And I get my notification, March 31st, 3 p.m., you know, Alicia's birthday. She goes, what's that? I said, your birthday's 3 p.m. Sunday. She goes, why 3 p.m.? I said, I don't know. That's why my phone just told me.
Like I get upset with, like, I'll learn something. I'll be like, okay, I'm gonna forget that. I'll know that. I don't know. I don't know some of my own nieces and nephews' birthdays. Like I forgot them. Like I think I know generally. Like one of them's like, I know one of them's in June. I know one of them's in August.
Well, I'll say this. I know your birthday's in August. But here's the thing: you and my mother's birthdays are within 2-3 days of each other. So I always get hers one day off and then yours one day off. So I never, like, date wise.
But see, here's the thing. You generally remember when you know my birthday's in August.
Yeah, that's it.
You know that. Every year, I forget that your birthday's in April. I don't fucking know.
I mean,
it's a surprise to me.
I do, like, torment it's like every, you a lot.
Oh, surprise. I didn't know.
I do torment you a lot, so I don't blame you. I'm not mad at you.
Like I remember a couple of years ago, they had a surprise birthday for you, yeah. And I couldn't make it, but they had messaged me about it, talk about it, and they're like, are you going to be able to make it? Are you going to be able to come up? And I was like, when the fuck is his birthday? I was like, I don't know when the birthday is. And then it turned out it was just, there was a scheduling thing. Couldn't go up there. I think, yeah. I think my wife had just started a new job and there was other things like that. So unfortunately we couldn't make it up there, but also it was like, they had this whole thing played out. I was like, well, at that point I had known you for like 10 years.
Yeah.
As just us being friends. No fucking idea when your birthday is. None. So I don't know if I'm the only one who's like that, who just doesn't remember shit. I don't know. The thing that I hate most about it is that because I'm with my wife, I know when Taylor Swift's birthday is.
You asshole, you. Now I'm mad at you.
December 13th, 1989. I remember that. I know when that is.
But your wife beats that into you.
My nephews, any of that shit. And I know my wife's birthday is 3 days after that.
I mean, you got to worry about her murdering you if you forget Taylor Swift's birthday. So, you know, I'm not going to murder you.
I think she would be fine if I forgot her birthday.
Yeah.
But if I forgot Taylor's birthday, it'd be the end.
It'd be Armageddon.
Wait. So when is your birthday?
April 25th.
Okay. So you're 25. So you're 25.
Yeah.
I'm August 25th. So I should always remember A25. We should, I should know that.
All right. So here, I thought yours was like 29th or 30th.
No, because my
I think my mom is 28th. My mom's either 28 or 20. getting back to a little bit of football to close out the show. AFL, did you catch any games?
No, I didn't.
God damn it, I called it
the 60s.
You missed it.
I did watch some of, I missed my Battle Hawks. I was out.
Not the AFL, USFL.
I was out getting my new computer. thank God, by the way. And thank you, everybody, for your help in getting me the new computer. And by everybody, I mean my dad.
Your dad's awesome.
We were hoping that we can get some donations so that we could do that. But
who would you rather get punched in the head by? Your dad or Mike Tyson? Because your dad scares the shit out of me.
I've been punched in the head by my dad. Granted, I did start it.
I was gonna say maybe
that's... I was grown. It's not like child abuse. Like I was 23 years old, so you know. we had a pretty good wrestling match. It was pretty good. No, and he should scare you.
Yeah.
Even now, he's 79 years old. I'm not fucking with that. Like I learned my lesson when I was like 22.
Yeah.
I was 6'9". I was a lot bigger than I am now. I had legs that worked. The diabetes hadn't ravaged me yet. I had a full head of hair. It was nice.
Yeah.
And yeah, no, that man, that's a man who's still at 79 years old, tarps and untarps all his truckloads and, you know, works his ass off and does all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I definitely wouldn't fuck with that man. that being said, I know he wouldn't murder me by punching me.
Just knock you out.
Which he would hold back a little bit because I'm his boy. Mike Tyson would have no qualms about that. Mike Tyson would kill me.
Yeah.
And then eat me. Especially if he was off the Zoloft.
But yeah, that's true.
Because that's what he takes to keep him from killing y'all. But yeah. Anyway. No, I did miss my Battle Hawks playing, unfortunately, which, you know, came down right to the wire. That, what was that, 63-yard field goal?
For a kid that...
field goal for the Michigan Panthers to win it. So, yeah. Good game, exciting game. Again, was it... again, it's not NFL-quality football. No. You're not going to get that. And I think people need to understand going into these. That's not what you're getting. Are you getting entertaining football, though? Are you entertained for a spring afternoon? Yes. I thought... It's good. It's going to be better once they're in St. Louis. When you have 40,000 people in the stands,
yeah,
the atmosphere makes a difference.
Yeah.
So, like, they had some good attendance, like the Renegades game. It was okay. Like, some of the other ones, like the Brahmas game was okay.
Yeah, I think Saturday's
Houston,
game.
Houston had a problem, but that's, you know, you're playing in Rice Stadium. That thing's fucking falling apart. So.
Yeah.
You know, so there's different things. But, you know, I think once you start playing in St. Louis, once they get to D.C. and the Beer Snake, you know, like that's when the atmosphere is going to kind of help with it, too. And I think you'll get better. And again, it's early season. It'll get better. And I'll tell you what, I'd rather have football than no football. And
yeah.
I'd rather watch the UFL than baseball.
Yeah.
Because I'm sorry. I know we touch on it. I know there's people out there who still love baseball. I'll talk about it. Baseball is fucking terrible. I'm sorry. It's boring. It's boring to watch. I will go to a game. I don't mind going to a game, drinking a beer, maybe smoking a dope, just relaxing on a great summer afternoon. It's great. Like that, baseball's fine. It's a nice, relaxing, pastoral game.
Yeah.
But trying to watch that fucking shit on television is like god awful. And then, because that's the only way to go to a game is you got to pay fucking exorbitant amount of money.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that. So then it's like, oh, you can watch it on TV. I would rather watch monkeys jerk off than watch baseball on television. It is atrocious. Just awful.
Yeah.
So I'd rather watch UFL. So I'm glad we got the UFL. I'm glad some of the games are, you know, some of the games are entertaining. Some of the games were good.
That I liked that I didn't know they set it up this way. The conferences are...
Are the XFL
and UFL,
and then
I was like, all right, that's pretty cool. So it'll be, you know, the championship game is going to be UFL versus
basically, XFL. Yeah, it's going to be,
That was pretty cool.
There is technically an XFL team in the USFL conference because the Houston Roughnecks were XFL, but it's actually the team itself is the Houston Gamblers from last year.
Yeah.
They just rebranded them with the Roughnecks name because the Roughnecks brand was doing a lot better than the Gambling brand.
Yeah.
Which is surprising, but it was. So, yeah. But, I mean, either way, I think it's I'll tell you what. If they can get a trophy that's as good as that USFL trophy was, though.
That was USFL nice.
Trophy is fucking bad. I would, for them, I would just use that.
Yeah.
Let that be the championship trophy.
Yeah.
And you know, just put take the USFL off, put UFL on there, and let that be. The XFL trophy sucked. That was gross.
Yeah.
But that USFL trophy is, that's a top tier fucking trophy. I would definitely use that. But yeah, you know, I thought it was fine. I think it's great. Something to watch. My Devils are out of it, so we'll go hockey a little bit here, but my Devils are out of it, you know.
My Flyers aren't. And I'm going April 13th to the Flyers Devils game, and I'm hoping our my new, I'm not gonna say Carter Hart because he's a scumbag, my new favorite goalie, I would say, the Russian, Fodtov, Fodtov, I think that's how you pronounce his name, something like that.
Why do you hate Ukrainians so much? You are Putin apologist, you Putinist, communist bastard.
Sorry, I cannot hear you. You are breaking up now.
Yeah, it sucks. It sucks seeing the Flyers do good. It sucks seeing the Devils be out and be inconsistent as we are. But again, I think the Devils fell into the trap that the Giants did.
Yeah.
Which was, we made the playoffs. We beat the Rangers in the first round. Shoddy goaltending, although somehow we kind of went through. We got super exposed by Carolina in the next round and thought, well, let's just run it back with these goalies and see what happens. This is what happens.
Yep.
So, but we did fire Lindy. So there's one positive that I'll always take from it. I didn't want him to be our coach anyway.
Oh,
so.
Bullshit. Towards the end of the year, you were like, yeah, he's my coach.
Dude, last year, I was like, hey, for real? Listen, you got to the playoffs. What am I going to do? Like, you can't fire a coach that gets you to the playoffs. But so there's a good thing. So hopefully we get a good coach in the offseason. Get some kind of – we have – it seems like we might have a couple of good goaltenders now that we traded for. I'd still like to get a better one.
Yeah.
We'll see what we do, get some defense and everything like that. But we play the Rangers the night that we're recording this. So we'll see tomorrow when we post this if the Devils would have won or lost against the Rangers, who are, I think, currently the best team in the league. So not high hopes. Not high hopes. But no. Still, Rangers suck. Fuck the Rangers. I'm always going to hate them even when we suck and they're good. So, you know, it's just that is what it is.
Do you have any last statements for – The Rangers player, what's his name, Remp?
Dude, the joy that I will have in my heart if just the moment he touches the ice, every single Devils player just goes over and just starts beating the ever-loving shit out of that guy. Just hit every – like, here's the thing. Our season's done. Like, we're done.
Yeah.
Let him touch the ice. Like that would be me. Like if I'm the interim coach behind the Devils bench, I'm not getting this job. So what the fuck do I care?
Yeah.
If I'm some of these Devils players, what do I care? Guess what? Rivalry time, bitches. We're coming for kneecaps. We're gonna Dan Campbell your ass, chewing kneecaps, biting one ass cheek off you. You know, like that. We're gonna be doing that shit. Like that's what I want. This guy wants to be a dirty, cheap motherfucker. We're from Jersey, bitch. We're gonna show you dirty and cheap. You want to do it that way? We can listen. We can party like that. We don't want to. We will try to be respectful. We're trying to be nice, but you want to do that? Rings are coming off, baby. Let's go. It's time. Got to put the Vaseline in the hair, and let's go. Knock if you buck, baby.
So you like him?
There's nobody in the NHL that I want to see. Like, here's the thing. You never root for injuries. Yeah. You don't want somebody injured. You don't want somebody. I want that motherfucker's ACL hung on somebody's wall as a trophy. That's all I'm going to say.
You cannot say anything about me anymore when I say the Buddy Ryan rule.
No, yes, I can. This is a one-time thing. This isn't because
I get one free pass for it.
He's a Ranger. It doesn't help that he's a Ranger. But he is a dirty son of a bitch.
Yeah.
So it didn't matter who he's playing for. He's a dirty son of a bitch, and he deserves it. So that's all I'm going to say.
All right.
Is there anything else going on?
I mean, it's going to be a slow weekend.
We got the NCAA Final Four coming up.
Yes.
The Creighton Blue Jays didn't make it, unfortunately. Neither did Duke. I was rooting, like, once Creighton was out and got knocked out by Tennessee, I was really hoping Duke would get there.
Oh, Angel Reese?
I didn't see this before. Apparently, during the pregame warm-ups and shoot-arounds, she came out and put, like, a crown
on
her seat on the bench.
Oh, then you know what?
And now everybody, like, she started crying after the game. And she started trying to make excuses. And it's all about sexism and racism. It's all this other kind of shit. And everybody's trying to do that. It's like, listen, she wanted to play the villain.
Exactly.
She wanted to be the bad guy. She did all the shit, and she did all the hand gestures, and she said all the shit, and all this other kind of stuff. And listen, when you're winning, it's easy.
Yes.
When you're winning, it's easy to be the villain. It's easy to be the bad guy. You have to be the bad guy when you're losing too, though.
Yeah.
And you can't be the victim when you're the villain. And she tried pulling that shit. So, like, that's the other thing. Like, you see her trying to cry all that, and then you find out that, like, in the pregame warm-ups, she was putting a crown on her seat on the bench during the warm-ups. And don't you, like, trying to send the message, like, I'm still the queen. Yeah. I'm the best here. I'm still.
And the thing is, like, you know, okay, obviously it was a very big game. You're so close to the championship. As much as I don't like her, if she was crying at the press conference, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with the crying because, you know, your emotions. But don't make excuses. Like you said, if you're going to be the villain, you got to take the responsibility when you lose too.
Yeah, be the villain. If you're going to be the villain, be the villain.
Yeah.
And she kind of failed at that. But did you see that the fact that pulled more numbers than Thursday night football games?
Yeah.
And World Series games. And so, like, listen, I think this can once and for all kind of, you know, listen, everybody always wanted to say, like, well, people don't watch women's basketball because they're sexist and they don't like it. And they just hate women. I don't want to see women do well. Ladies and gentlemen, when you see the numbers that what people did for a college women's basketball game, where it got those kind of numbers, what that tells you is when you have good players who play good basketball,
yeah,
and then there's also a good story with it, that's going to get you numbers.
And with that too, I was thinking about the next day when I saw the numbers, to kind of go back to what we were talking about last week about the WNBA. The WNBA, this is perfect for them because not only are they going to get Caitlin Clark, but now they have, I guess the easiest comparison I could put is this is Michael Jordan versus Larry Bird.
No. Magic. This is Magic and Bird.
Yeah.
This is Magic and Bird in the 80s.
Yep.
Coming out there. And I think a lot of people have made that comparison. And not so much the comparison, like that's who they play like or they're good at, but saying like just what it looks like. It's like you have these two absolute rivals, best in the business right now in college basketball. Now they're going to come to the WNBA. That might get people watching the NBA, WNBA.
That might
actually happen. And like I said, it's like everybody always wanted to say, like it's sexism and it's misogyny and it's all that stuff. At the end of the day, people watch sports to be entertained.
Yeah.
If we can be honest with each other, the WNBA has not been entertaining. It's been around for 26 years.
Yeah.
It's not entertaining. It's never really grabbed anybody.
Yeah.
Now you have something. So if I'm the WNBA, if I'm ESPN, if I'm the people who have this, stop trying to do it like it's going to be like, oh, women are powerful and there are women and they're going to be like, now it's time to go, these two bitches hate each other. Coming up, it's going to be a clash. It's gonna, like, start doing that. Start playing into the fact that you have a story here.
Yeah.
You have something really good. Lightning in a bottle, as they say.
Yeah.
Run with it. And if they fuck it up, they fuck it up. You know, what are you going to do? But, I mean, there's something there. Because people have seen it now for the last 2 years. Last year in the Final Four, this year in the Elite Eight. When it comes to Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, people are going to want to see it. Like, there's already been shown there's a market for those two athletes in particular.
Yeah.
Market them. They should be on, like, ABC on Saturdays in the summertime every chance you get.
Yeah.
One of them should be on ABC, you know, even fuck ESPN. Like, ESPN during the week, fine, I get it. But on the weekends when you got nothing else going on, put one of them at least on there. And then when they're playing off, if you're the WNBA schedule makers, every game that they're going to play against each other is on a weekend, it's on primetime, and it's on ABC.
Yeah.
Like, don't fuck this up.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say about that. Man, that's two Forrest Gump references.
I like that. I like that.
Not bad. Not bad. Not bad.
But I think other than that, I think we're good.
I think so. Yeah. Again, we're kind of in the slow season.
Yeah.
Hockey playoffs are coming up. Not quite here yet. Baseball just started and it already sucks. I mean, the Yankees are doing good, so that's all right. Nobody cares about the NBA. College basketball is just about winding down now with the Final Four coming up this weekend. WrestleMania.
This weekend.
Maybe this Saturday. We'll do a live watch along with that. Perhaps, maybe, could be.
We will see.
We'll see how that goes. We'll see what happens with this whole computer situation. Again, it's a whole thing. Won't even get into it.
It'll probably be a whole nother episode.
Fuck Adobe is all I'm going to say as far as that goes. But we'll see. We'll see how that all works out. But yeah, so we're, you know, it's kind of that slow time. So,
all right.
We'll make do. We'll make the best of with what we got.
So I guess I'll say till next week. This is your good friend Jimbo.
Hey, at least you remembered it the proper way this time. It's your boy, King.
We are out, just like Angel Reese. Okay.